Good morning, church family. So as Sheehan has already introduced us, today we're taking a break from our studies in Genesis. We're going to pause and we're going to take a moment to focus on the vision that God has given us for the church in this season. And Sheehan's already directed us to the church logo, which has the vision wrapped around it. You can see it on the screen and on the wall behind me. Fairfield Church. That's the name of this local part of God's church global, his body of believers. Fairfield Church, and here's the vision. Here's what we feel God has called us to aspire to be and do in this season at this time. To be a place to belong, knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. A place to belong, knowing Jesus, making Jesus known. And today we're going to hone in on a particular part of that, as Sheehan has already said, belonging. Belonging. What does it mean to belong? And we've got three components to this that we're going to examine today. And I'm going to suggest to you, first of all, we're going to look at belonging, the core component of belonging as being connection. Connection, firstly, to Christ, to God. And we also see that encapsulated in our vision with knowing Jesus. Then our connection to one another within the church, the body of believers under Christ's headship. So our connection with one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, what I've called craving connection, which is recognizing that there are people outside of the church who don't know the Lord as their Savior, non-Christians. And I'm sure we know a lot of them, each of us, in our individual lives. And I'm going to suggest to you today that they are all craving connection of some kind. And as a church, as a place that can offer belonging to God, connection to God, and belonging to one another, connection with one another, we have a great, unique selling point. We have something big to offer. And maybe we don't think about that very often. How we can invite other people, how we can be attractive as a church because we are a place where people can connect and truly belong. And that, as we're going to explore later, I'm going to suggest to you, people outside the church are deeply in need of and seeking and looking for at this time in this place. So before we do that, I want us to take a step back and I want us to think about our experiences of feeling like we don't belong. I don't know if any of you have ever walked into a room and pretty quickly you felt, I don't belong here. Maybe you've gone into a meeting and you suddenly realize I'm in the wrong room. I've turned up at the wrong meeting. Maybe you're going to a party and you go into the venue and you think, hang on a minute, I don't know anyone else here. I've come to the wrong place. Maybe you've had that really embarrassing experience of going into the bathroom and realizing you're in the ladies rather than the gents by mistake. Perhaps that's just me. I don't know. For Tanya and I, and Thomas and Arthur, we didn't have Willow at that point. When we first went to Botswana, back in 2013, we'd only been in the country for a couple of weeks. We were still trying to get used to everything, and we were trying to buy a car, and the guy who we'd been introduced to, a local, who was helping us buy a car, he said, hey, I'm a Christian, why don't you come to my church on a Sunday? And we thought, brilliant idea. Let's do that. Great way to build a relationship with a local person, get introduced to the church and how they do things here in culture and context. So he gave us an address. We turned up at that address and it was a big church building, huge area of dirt for parking, and straight away we felt like we didn't belong. We looked around us and out of every car was somebody immaculately dressed. Now, this is my idea, I think, of, you know, church smarts. Okay? We had children, Zeke and Remy's age, coming out in white tuxedos with little bow ties and red handkerchiefs in the pockets. Immaculate. Here's Arthur in arms and Thomas in sort of little casual trousers and a T-shirt. The ladies were coming out with their beautiful traditional African material, all their head covered. You know, beautiful headscarves. So I looked across in embarrassment at my wife's naked flowing locks. We didn't feel like we belonged. It was too late to go home. We'd already been spotted. And we got ushered in to this huge church building, which could probably accommodate 1,000 people, I don't know. And being honored guests, We were taken to the front of the church. We were sat in the middle. And we turned around and we looked behind us at maybe 700, 800 faces, immaculately attired. And then we turned around and all I felt anyway for the next 4 hours of the service was probably eyes burning into the back of my head thinking, my goodness, who are these people and why are they dressed like that? We definitely felt like we didn't belong. After the service, one of the elders came over to me and said, you know, we were so blessed to have you with us. We do hope you'll come again, but please dress appropriately next time. Belonging is a deep human need, and it's placed in us by God. You know, from the very beginning, and we've touched on this in our studies in Genesis previously, God created us to be in the closest belonging relationship with Him, to know Him personally. Adam, when he created him in the Garden of Eden, we read that he walked with God. There were no barriers. We don't read that he even had clothes on. I mean, that's illustrative of vulnerability. No barriers between God and humanity. And that's how God created us. That's his intention. And then he realized, well, you know, humans need partners that are suitable for them as well, that they can relate to. So he made Eve a suitable companion. And again, they walk naked together. We don't read about any disharmony between them. Closest relationship between God and humanity and other humans. That was God's intention for us. To know one another perfectly, to know God perfectly, no barriers, no problems. But then we read in the Genesis account with the fall that Adam and Eve decided that they might know better than God. God had told them not to eat a certain fruit in the garden. They said, we're going to eat that fruit. In that moment, they said, we're going to be God of our own life. And so sin came into the world. That is, choosing to live without God. Choosing not to acknowledge his plans, his will for us, his design for us. And that sin became a barrier. Just as if I have a crossword with my wife at some point. Obviously, that never happens. Don't ask her about it. But, you know, until it's resolved, there's a tension. There's a barrier. And it's like that with God, but I'm going to suggest even more serious because God cannot be in the presence of sin. So we have this big, big problem. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that's what we've been looking at as we've continued our study in Genesis. God's plan through the offspring of Abraham, he said, there's going to be a great nation that's going to bless all people. And we, of course, know with the benefit of the New Testament Bible teaching that of that line from Abraham comes Jesus. And Jesus, as we remembered at Christmas, is God put on flesh. God stepping into creation. Because he knows there's nothing we can do to demolish that barrier of sin, to be reconnected with God. And he loves us that much that he wants us to be in that closest relationship with again. And he knows that deep down that's what we need. And humanity is seeking that close relationship wherever it can. From superficial human relationships, from experiences and from money and whatever we look to in this world. But we can't find it sustainably and meaningfully. And God sent Jesus, his son, and he died on the cross because he was without sin. He could take the punishment and consequences for our sin. And you can see that the cross bridges that gap so we can be connected with God. But here's the thing. We're not automatically reconnected with God again. We have a choice. And a lot of people choose to continue to live as God is of their own life without him. But God has made the way clear for us to be in relationship with him. And us, as individuals, if we have asked him to be Lord of our life, we said, I know I need a Savior. I want you as my God. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. Then we are reconnected with God. His Holy Spirit moves in. That's God coming to live in us. And we belong to him again, where he intended us to be. And that's great news. But for many people, they haven't done that. They haven't made that decision. And hey, why should they? What are the benefits of belonging to God? Well, let's consider the benefits. And John has already mentioned this verse for us this morning. John 15, verse 4, Jesus says these words, "Remain in me, remain in relationship, remain connected to me as I also remain in you." And I want us to pause here. He's saying, I want you, even if you've made that choice to be in relationship with me, to have me as Lord of your life, to remain in me. There's a sense that even as a Christian, we can still become disconnected from him in some way. And he says, you have a choice. I want you to choose to remain in me, to invest in belonging and in growing in that connection with me as I also remain in you. There's no choice there. He's just saying that is a fact. I will remain in you, but you have a choice of whether you remain in me or not. And then he goes on with the reason we need to remain in him. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. And we have this image of grapes on a vine, not so commonly grown. Our climate isn't so favorable here. But if you take a grape off a vine or snap the branch off, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to wilt. It's going to wither, isn't it? He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We need to stay connected in God if we're going to be fruitful. What kind of fruit? Well, we're going to touch on that as we look at the church connection and craving connection in a moment. But basically, God has intentions for us to be in his church, to bring glory to him, to know him better, to become more like him. The branch taking on the form of the vine, becoming more like him. We're going to fail to do that if we don't stay connected. And also, to glorify him, to introduce others into the vine. And we're not going to be effective in doing that unless we remain connected in him. Perhaps grapes aren't that familiar to us, but hopefully at least all the married women in the room are used to receiving cut flowers. Don't look at my wife again. She's shaking her head. We can all understand perhaps the illustration of flowers. Growing in the garden, the plant might live on and live on, but the moment you cut them and you put them in water, they bloom and they flourish for a while, but they don't last that long. If they're removed from the roots in the base and the dirt, they'll flourish for a while. They'll blossom and bloom for a while, but it won't be for long. This is how we are if we're connected from Jesus. We might feel fine for a season, but eventually we'll find ourselves spiritually dry, unable to thrive. We might start reaching out to other places to get these things that we need. Things that actually aren't going to satisfy. Jesus is the source. He's the vine that nourishes and sustains. How can we stay connected? How can we stay connected? Well, I'm going to suggest the answer is investing in our knowing Jesus through reading his word and through prayer and through fellowship and meeting together. And again, we'll touch on that in a moment when we think about the role of the church in our belonging. We need to invest. We need to commit. And not just as a tick box exercise. I'm a Christian because I went to church on a Sunday. I did my Bible study this morning. We can do a Bible study, but if we don't really think about it, we don't really seek to apply it, if we rush through it in those few minutes, if we allow the distractions on that video that Sheehan showed us this morning, just sort of sleepwalking through our days and not really truly giving time to God, and we perhaps sleepwalk even through our planned devotion and our time at church, then we're going to become disconnected. We might be flourishing and blooming at the moment, but eventually we're going to wither. Belonging to God brings purpose. It brings identity. It brings strength. It brings joy. It brings peace, irrespective of circumstances that we might be facing. It helps us experience love. So So ask yourself these questions. And I don't know if any of you write notes or make mental notes. I want you to ask yourself these questions with an attitude that, Holy Spirit, I really want you to highlight something to me. And I want you to hold on to that in your mind or your heart or make a note of it. Because God might be speaking specifically into your situation in this area. He might have something to say that he wants you to respond to. Ask yourself, am I truly remaining in Jesus? Are there areas of my life where I feel withered because I've disconnected from him? What steps can I take to get more connected or reconnected today? Am I remaining in Jesus? Are there areas of my life where I feel withered because I've disconnected from him? What steps can I take to get more connected or reconnected today? I'm going to suggest that I might make these questions available in the bulletin this week or from a link from the bulletin. So if you can't quite capture them now, you want to reflect on them, there'll be a reminder later in the week. So we've looked at the Christ connection. That's central. What about the church connection? Because God didn't just call us to belong to him. He called us to belong to one another. Romans 12, verse 5, the Apostle Paul describes the church, that is, believers, those in that belonging relationship with God, in this way. He said, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The church is not a building. We might say, I'm going to church, as a turn of phrase, meaning I am going to Fairfield at this address. But actually, biblically, the church is people. That means if you're a Christian today, the church is wherever you are and wherever I am. That might be in my house, sipping a cup of tea, or having a conversation with my neighbor over the fence, or in my workplace, or in the school playground. Or for our younger people, you know, while they're studying in class or playing football with the football club. That is where the church is. But we are connected together. We think of Fairfield as a church. We're just a local part of God's church, which is global. All those who are in relationship with him. All those who are part of his kingdom. And we've got this image here on the right. And there'll be another scripture we'll draw on that helps fill this out for us a bit. But you can see all these believers making up the body of Christ. Christ is the head. In the image of the body, we have this wonderful image of being connected to God, but also being connected to one another. And look at the words here. Each member not belongs with the others, belongs to all the others. I haven't delved back into the original Greek here. I fell short of doing that, but belonging to someone might have negative connotations. We think of slavery, we think of ownership. I think it's helpful to think of this in terms of responsibility for one another. Because we're connected to each other that closely, this isn't a social club where I go to church, a place where my club meets. No, I am meeting with people who I have responsibility for. Just as I feel I have responsibility for my children, to educate them, to build them up, this verse says, I have a responsibility for you, Chris, and for you, Candy, and for you, Sheehan. Now, you might say, that's okay, you're the pastor, of course you do. But no, Chris, you have a responsibility for me. Candy, you have a responsibility for me. Sheehan, you have a responsibility for me. Not just your biological family. We have a responsibility for one another. And I'm going to suggest to you that means we shouldn't just be comfortable and we're not fulfilling God's call on us to belong to one another if we are satisfied with just turning up at church, asking how we're doing on a Sunday, saying, good, great, see you next week, just meeting up for a social or you know, maybe even talking about some biblical things. I think we need to go deeper than that. I think that's what this passage is saying. And firstly, I'm going to suggest that we need to take these words of Hebrews really seriously. Because how can we go deeper with one another if we are not prioritizing meeting together? Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let's not give up meeting together as some of are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, the author of Hebrews said, you know, God has a purpose for his church. The day is coming. The day is coming when we won't need to worry about sharing the gospel with other people. Because when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a judgment. And anyone who survives that judgment is already going to be in that belonging relationship. We don't need to be inviting people in anymore. We have a time window. God is going to finish his work. But between now and then, we have work to do. He has a purpose for the church. A purpose which we're going to touch on in a minute. But he says core to this is the need to encourage one another. Now, you might say, well, they didn't have Zoom back then. Perhaps they would have said Zoom meetings are okay, or, you know, they could only meet face to face. What's important here is let's not give up. It was a problem then. People not wanting to meet together, people prioritizing other things. This is our church family. We need to spend time together. And I'm going to suggest to you that it's quite disheartening. It's wonderful to see so many people come on a Sunday, but it's quite disheartening midweek when we don't see many people. Perhaps a quarter of people might come. I know lives are busy. We know people can't make every prayer meeting or connect group meeting. But where is the priority on meeting together, on belonging? Do we really understand what belonging means in the Bible? And let's just say, okay, belonging doesn't just have to happen in the church. I've done my church bit for the week. Now I'm going to focus on my family or my work. In the early church, the believers met together. They never stopped meeting together. And I'm guessing it wasn't just for church meetings. When was the last time that you invited someone else from church out for a walk or for a cup of tea? Just to socialize together, just to be out of the space. We are the church where God has placed us. Why is it important? Why do we need to belong to each other in this way? What is God's purpose for us in the church to belong in this way? Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, back to the image of this body. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. To become more like Christ. And that's not something that happens miraculously when we become a Christian. Yes, we're in that connected relationship with God. Yes, his Holy Spirit moves into us. But we need to disciple one another. That's what it's talking about here. That means helping each other through the muckiness and messiness of this life, the struggles and joys in applying this faith, and what does it mean to belong to God and become more like him and live that way, to help one another. And here's the thing. It says speaking the truth in love. It's easy to speak the truth in love when you're saying words of encouragement. Speaking the truth in love also means giving those hard messages. We belong to one another. We should be able to say, actually, I don't think that was the best way to do that. I think what you said there or did there wasn't the best thing. I think this thing that you're persistently doing is getting in the way of your relationship with God or others. But in love. Not from a point of view of, I'm superior to you, I've got it all right, I'm your judge. We're one body, we're connected. We hurt together, we grieve together, we celebrate together. That's the image we have in the body. And then we come on from that. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Some of us are called to be hands. Some of us are called to be feet. Some of us are called to be knees. We have different gifts. God's made us differently. But he has called us to be part of his church. And working together, we can support one another. If I am a hand and the parts, the ligaments, aren't doing their job, my hand is limp, it's useless. If you sever it, it's useless. But if the part here is doing its job and the elbow and the arm, then not only can we as an arm do what we're meant to be doing, but we can get stronger, can't we? And that's what it says here. We build up the body. But we all have a part to play. If the church is a puzzle and we are all pieces, we will not be able to see the big picture. God does. But if you're a piece of the puzzle who God has called to be part of the church and you are not plugging yourself into the place you're meant to be, you're not doing your part, then that picture can't be complete, can it? It can't be the thing that it was intended to be. We need to find out what sort of puzzle piece we are and how God wants to use us in the big picture. So ask yourself more questions. We'll share these later in the week, but give it some thought. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? How can I contribute to making Fairfield? And you don't have to think about all these things, but maybe one of them will stand out or something else. How can I contribute to making Fairfield the welcoming, loving, supportive, discipling, growing, deeply God-connected, and interconnected community that God intends it to be? What gifts, what skills, what's on your heart? How are you being called to be involved in some way in doing that? How can I go deeper in my relationships with others in the church family today? Perhaps it's just saying, I'm not just going to have a superficial conversation today. I'm going to go deeper with somebody. Or I'm going to invite them for a cup of tea outside a church, organize things. What is God saying to you today? And then finally, we're going to focus on this craving connection. This recognition that when we're called to be part of God's family, we're also called to take part in God's mission. One of his purposes is, yes, discipleship, building up the church family, but it's outward looking so that we can invite others into that belonging relationship. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Our neighbors are within the church, but they're also outside where God's placed us, outside this physical building or community where we gather. It is those that don't know the Lord. What lengths did God go to bridge the barrier for us so that we could be restored into belonging relationship with him? He gave it all, surely. His very life came into this world. The reality is there's big barriers to us reaching our neighbors as well. What lengths are we prepared to go to? Jesus, before he went up to heaven, after his resurrection and he'd been walking around with the disciples for 40 days when he came back to life, before he went up to heaven, one of the last things that we have recorded that he said is the mission for the church, this great commission passage, Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. We've talked about the role of the church in discipling one another, in belonging to each other, but he's now saying all nations, those outside the church, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In other words, what we're doing in the church, we need to see how we can do that outside the church, how we can bring others into the church, how we can love our neighbor, how from our knowing God and belonging to God and belonging to one another, we can make Jesus known, inviting others into that belonging relationship with us, the church, and with God. But there are barriers, like I said. What are those barriers? What stops us from making Jesus known, bringing people into a belonging relationship? Some of these barriers are internal. These are the things that I might say, well, I can't share the gospel with them because maybe it's because I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I might put the relationship in jeopardy. They might respond aggressively. Maybe I don't feel equipped enough. I don't know enough. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't feel confident enough. Maybe it's, I just don't care enough, to be honest. Mission's not on my radar. I know the Lord. I'm fine with him. I pray about it. I know the Bible says, but, you know, there's a pastor to do that. We've got mission partners. I'll support them. I don't need to do anything. Maybe some of these barriers are what I'm going to call external barriers. The things that might stop somebody wanting to come, wanting to talk, wanting to come into a church. That might be cultural, socioeconomic. That might be their worldview. There could be all sorts of things that are stopping people coming into a place like this or into relationship. There are barriers. But God went to great lengths to bridge a barrier so we can be in a relationship with him. What lengths are we prepared to go to? Well, that picture, which you probably can't read very well, where it says go, is made up of words that's been produced by a wonderful computer program that looks at the number of times certain words are mentioned in the Bible on a theme. The more times it's mentioned, the bigger it appears in that picture. That is based on the Great Commission and things we can do for the Great Commission. That's why it's in the shape of the word go. And that just gives some ideas of some of those things that we can do. They fall into the category of sharing the gospel, and the word witness is there. They fall into the category of doing things, active service. So perhaps feeding the hungry or giving to the poor is mentioned there. It talks about our attitudes and showing God's love in our attitudes. So it will talk about ministering to the prisoners, those that we might say, oh, I can't mix with those. I can't mix with the sinners. I can't, you know. But that is a huge task, isn't it? And it is scary and it is daunting. But you know, at the end of the Great Commission, Jesus finishes that verse with these words here, Matthew 28, verse 20. He says, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. The joy of belonging to God, if we're staying connected with him and in the church, is that we are guaranteed God is with us. He's not leaving us to this task on our own. But I've talked broadly about making Jesus known and inviting people into belonging. I want us to come back to belonging now and this aspect very briefly on the fact that people are out there craving connection. Because I'm convinced that in this time that we live in, this culture and this context, one of the biggest selling points, unique things that we can offer that people are craving and desiring is connection, is true belonging. And I'm going to suggest one of the biggest bridges we can build is inviting people into belonging relationship. You know, we live in a world where people feel more connected to their Netflix accounts than they do their neighbors. And here's the thing, you cannot replace belonging with binge watching. It doesn't work. You can't stream love, you can't stream community. And we've got a world that is trying to replace genuine belonging. And not just belonging by association, but belonging to one another, belonging to God, having that deep love and concern for one another. Post-COVID, we talk about the fact that we had this time of being isolated for a long period of time, and although we're free to meet again, a lot of people haven't got back into that pattern of connecting. More people are working from home now and missing out on that sort of community that would have been in the workplace. More people are socializing on their own with their families at home rather than meeting up with other people like they might have done in the past. Younger generations are increasingly settling for virtual communities, online connections than the real world. And from what I've been reading in recent weeks about Generation Beta, those that are being born this year, from 2025 onwards, the suggestion is not only will they spend more time in the virtual world, they'll spend more time talking to virtual people, artificial intelligence, than they will real people, or as much. It will be interchangeable. In an area like Northwood Hills, which has seen house prices shoot up, and people not needing to be in an area where they can commute in the same way because they work from home more, we are seeing people moving into the area and moving out much quicker. And when you've got people who are saying, well, I might only be here for a couple of years and I'll move on, they don't bother putting out roots. They don't have their family. They're more transitory. They move on. They don't build up community relationships and connection. And if you look at Northwood Hills as well, it's becoming increasingly multicultural, which is wonderful. But we are an individualistic society. naturally. Probably our demographic is. We're our family unit, you know, we don't need anyone else. But a lot of these people are coming from parts of the world, countries of origin, which aren't individualistic. They rely on the community, friendships and support, and they come here and it's not there. And we're okay with that for ourselves, but it's a real gap for them. It's a real need. I guess what I'm trying to say is, our world, our society is craving connection. It's craving belonging. And we can offer that because that's what God wants for us. That's what he's intended for us. That's what he's intended for his church. That's his intention for us with him. But who do you invite to belong? How do we decide who we're going to engage and say, come in? You know, the temptation is to be selective. We may be tempted to say, I won't talk to them. I don't think they'll be receptive. Or look at their behavior. Look at their lifestyle choices. Look at their worldviews. We may do some prejudgment by human standards. I'm really grateful that God doesn't operate on the same principle, because I wouldn't be in a relationship with him today. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we'd achieve some standard of righteousness or approval before we get invited in. The invitation comes first. That's why Jesus said, I've come to minister to the sick. The well don't need a doctor. The healing, the change, the transformation begins when we're in that belonging relationship with God, and his Holy Spirit comes in and they're part of the church, and we can help God work on those things. But let's not be like bouncers at the door of the church by not inviting people. Say, oh, now I'll invite you, but then... Ask yourself, what can I do to welcome others into connection and community with God and his church family? What can I do to welcome others into connection and community with God and his church family, into belonging relationship? Who is God calling me to engage with this week? Extended invitation. Doesn't have to be to a church event. I often hear people say, well, the timing of church activities isn't right, or I'm not sure they get on with whoever's preaching or whatever. Invite them to your house. You are the church. Let's build that relationship first. Then maybe they'll want to start coming to some of our church things. Who is God calling you to engage with this week? So just very briefly, and this in no way captures all the things that sort of I've shared, and I don't want it to overwrite maybe some notes that you've made and you felt the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but as we try and put this vision of being a place to belong into action, maybe these statements will help. We need to be the welcome. And I don't mean we, the church, building structured events that we put on. I mean individually. What does that look like to be the welcome to somebody? We need to foster deeper relationships within the church, with God, and outside the church. And we need to invite people to belong in relationship with us, in relationship with the church, in relationship with God. Okay. Let us pray as we close our message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to belong to you and to one another. Help us to live out and realize your vision for Fairfield Church, making it a true place of belonging. Help us to know you deeply and to make you known in our community. May people be drawn towards you through our reflecting the love and belonging you show us in our words, our attitudes, and our deeds. And just as you welcome us as we are in our sinful, rebellious state into your family, may we do the same for others, not allowing any bias or earthly judgment prevent us from expressing love, grace, welcome, and invitation. That you may start your work of transformation in their lives through your Holy Spirit, in partnership with the discipleship work of your church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We look forward to you completing this work in all of us who belong to you when you come again. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.